May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this week marks a year for me at St. Catherine's. This Monday, or actually probably Tuesday would be the day, but and I'm still going through boxes and file folders. So I found something that someone had sent me a while ago, a year or two ago, from Garrison Keillor, who most of you or maybe all of you know who Garrison Keillor is, but you might not know that he is an Episcopalian. And here are some words, lovingly, of course, making fun of Episcopalians, from Garrison Keillor. Episcopalians believe in prayer, but would practically die if asked to pray out loud. Episcopalians drink coffee as if it were the third sacrament. Episcopalians like to sing, except when confronted with a new hymn or a hymn with more than four stanzas. Episcopalians believe in miracles and even expect miracles, especially during their stewardship program or when passing the plate. Today we continue our exploration of what it means to be a steward of all that God has given us. And here's the definition of stewardship that I like. Stewardship is everything that I do after I say, I believe. Today's gospel gives us something to wrestle with as we prayerfully consider our giving for God's work in the world. This story is a well-known one. We sometimes hear it titled The Rich Young Ruler. But in Mark's gospel, it doesn't tell us whether he's young, and it doesn't say that he's a ruler. So in Mark's gospel, this is a rich man. And the rich man asks Jesus what he can do to inherit eternal life. He has done lots of things, good things. He has lived a good life and kept all the commandments. But he knows that there is more. There's something missing. So he comes to Jesus and asks him what he can do. Jesus looks at him with compassion. Jesus loved him, the gospel tells us. And then Jesus gives him something to do. Sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. Then come, follow me. And we know what happened. The rich man went away very sorrowful because he could not do what Jesus asked of him. He could not leave his things and follow Jesus. He was held captive by the power of his own wealth. There is a cost to discipleship. And for us to follow Jesus in this world requires sacrifice. We live in a society that is obsessed with money and material things. Yet most of us are not comfortable talking about our money. We live in a society where just about every topic is talked about everywhere, except money and our relationship to money. But Jesus talked and taught about money and possessions often in the Gospels almost as often as he mentioned the kingdom of God. Why would this be? Because he knew that we could so easily be held in bondage by our relationship to money and possessions. Remember these words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And also from the Gospel of Matthew, these familiar words: no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Wherever we are in our lives, Jesus always speaks words both of challenge and of comfort. And Jesus is always calling us out of bondage to the things that bind us, to the things that keep us from abundant life. He calls us out of bondage into freedom. And I believe that Jesus calls us to sacrificial giving. One of the reasons that the Episcopal Church holds up the tithe, or 10% of one's income, as the standard for giving is that this percentage is a real sacrifice for most people. To give one-tenth of one's income back to God is a difficult thing for most people. But when you do, you can experience a most wonderful freedom. Because to give away such an amount for God's work in the world is a tangible sign that you are not held in complete bondage to money and possessions. The only way to live free from the power of money is to give it away. The philosopher and theologian Jacques Ellul wrote these words: how can we overcome the spiritual power of money? Not by accumulating more money, not by using money for good purposes, not by being just and fair in our dealings. The law of money is the law of accumulation, of buying and selling. That is why the only way to overcome the spiritual power of money is to give our money away, thus desacralizing it and freeing ourselves from its control. To give away money is to win a victory over the spiritual power that oppresses us. Well, it may be true, as Garrison Keillor says, that we Episcopalians believe in miracles and even expect miracles, especially during our stewardship programs or when passing the plate. But we are called not just to expect miracles from God. Jesus calls us to be a miracle of God, to live our lives with a spirit of abundance and generosity. Or in the words of the dean of the cathedral in Hawaii, to live our lives in the key of G, God's grace and generosity. Now, we cannot do this, of course, all on our own power. But as Jesus reminded the disciples, all things are possible with God. Amen.
Amen.